Father God, let's, God, we want to, we want to see you, and I just ask for your presence to be here. Empower the words that I'm going to speak, empower your people to hear, show us what you want, calibrate us, aim us in the right direction. Let us bring glory to you today, and let us glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to, let's see here, get this right. It occurs to me that I was going to send something to you so that we could watch it together. All right, I'll have to send it to you. All right, we'll get it up a little bit later in the thing, and I'll try and get it out to you guys. We'll get it live to you guys really quickly in real time. But I wanted to start out with, so we finished up Genesis last week, yeah? How was that, by the way? 2 weeks ago. Yeah? Yeah? Cool. Yeah, in that moment. Anybody get a chance to go back and listen to it? Wasn't it there? It was really good. Bronson crushed it. It was really solid. And we're done with it. We're turning the page. We are finished with Genesis. So I want to just real quick recap. Like, what are some of your highlights from our time in Genesis? What are some of your highlights? It's probably, what, over the 6 months or so? Some of you guys, most of you guys have had a few. I know you haven't been here, so maybe you have just a highlight in Genesis you want to just say. But what are some of the highlights that you recall from Genesis?
Abraham's kind of a weirdo, but God's blessing on him was so good, and he believed God, so God made him righteous. And it makes me feel like, even though I'm weird, I can be glorious too.
Okay, good. Jasmine.
Our family's going through Genesis too, but when you guys come here, you guys would notice things we didn't, like family curses that are passed down, like this guy's a liar. This cousin's a liar. They see that in each other.
Okay, so family curses. He was weirdo, but he had a cool blessing. Yeah?
I loved how multiple times it kept showing us that even though people messed up, God still accomplished through them. So that his continual work through us is not on us. It's like it's him.
Yeah.
And I loved it over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody gets it right, huh? Mm-hmm. Nobody really gets it right.
I know what Diana just said. And we consider those our church fathers.
Yeah.
Or historically, the religious fathers. It's like, oh, these guys were idiots.
Yeah. Didn't that give you some comfort a little bit? Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, there is comfort in that.
It's like, yeah.
Because I don't recall seeing them in that light specifically. I mean, certain instances, yes. It's like, wow. But consistency. This consistency of stupidness was amazing this time around. And yet, again, the Lord's blessing that he fulfilled everything.
Yeah, it's something interesting. Remember Stephen in the New Testament when he's about ready to get stoned to death? And he is recalling like the history of Israel. And it's interesting. I noticed this once, last time I think when we were going through Acts, it was surprising to me how he edited out Moses' resistance and failures. And my point to that is it's two sides of that. One to what you're saying, it's like we don't really notice that, but we notice what they did well. And somehow we've carried that well through the history of the church and what they've done well. But it's something to notice in each of our lives too, is if we can, the initial failure or the initial resistance is not necessarily the end game. And so that over time and later, and how many, and again, this is what we're kind of talking about, is when we get outside of ourselves, people don't see us the way that we see ourselves, and that little sounding board that we have within here, it actually rings differently for them, and it's powerful to kind of see that. It's really interesting that Jesus had no power to do miracles in his hometown. And I think that there's something to that. There's like a dynamic or something that's going on there that you get away from what you're used to and the familiarity, and you step out into something, all of a sudden, you know, things come alive differently. Yeah. Anything else from just kind of like your thoughts or like highlights from Genesis?
I liked when you pointed out to us that Laban was a deceiver too, and I don't think I'd ever like caught that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's
cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
There's something fun about discovering, right? Like having these things. So when we approach the scriptures and we approach these different things, looking for like, God, what do you want to say? How do we just, you know, like, and then all of a sudden there's that joy of discovery that's that like, ah, I love that. I love the people that can do that really, really, really well consistently, you know, like good storytellers and so forth, but it's fun when we approach the Lord that way and say, like, what are you up to in this? And then we find, like, these nuggets. Yeah. So anybody else?
But I never realized that when Joseph, with his dream, when the jailer needed a dream interpreted, that he got it done. He's like, I'll help you, and then it was, like, 2 years
worth. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, like, just the idea of the timing of that, and we don't really know why, and what was going on there. But obviously, he was there in the jail and ministering to people. And,
mm-hmm.
But the idea that you could have that crazy miracle, and if someone just told
just for you, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're still stuck in the same place.
Mm-hmm. When it's naturally infused, right?
Yeah. But you kind of get bumped when you show it. And so I was just trying to remember, like, what are my sources? It was actually really cool.
What are my sources? Is that what you said?
Oh, like cite your sources. Like, give credit to Jesus.
Hmm.
Not what are my sources. Sorry, that made no sense.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah, keep going. You're good. That's cool. You know, what's interesting is Chris Cupitz pointed out to me after that passage that, like, God might have been working on Joseph for those 2 years, but Chris goes, like, or he could have been working on Pharaoh for those 2 years. We always think it's about us, right? Like, why aren't you moving? No, he might be working on the over here, getting ready for the, you know, and so it's both and. It's this real funny thing that I at least get real myopic real quick.
Sorry.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah.
On that level of the brothers in him, right? Like, they're,
yep.
It's almost like, you know, obviously they sold him off and all that stuff, but at the end of it, it's like they come around to value life again, right? Because, like, he kind of takes in the one brother,
yeah.
Like, or won't give him back, and then they're like, no, like, I'll do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like their hearts change. Like,
yeah.
Hey, we already did this once. Like, we can't do this again. Like, my father, or, you know, our father, whatever, it's gonna die.
Yeah, it's gonna crush him, huh?
Back. Yeah, and so it's almost like God working on their heart through the whole process, mm-hmm. too, right? So,
yeah, he's up to stuff,
yeah.
All over the place, and we just, yeah. Go ahead, Janet.
Genesis, and what a perfect picture of God, Father, capital F, parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because protecting, leading, all of those elements that we sometimes miss in our own lives or we didn't get from our parents or God provided it all. I mean, you see everything from a bird's eye view about how God really parented to make the nation. It wasn't about the nation. He made a nation. He formed that nation. And to see all the parenting stuff that went in that. So God, Father with a big F, was like really stands out to me. Things that go into loving your children.
Yeah.
Loving your community. I mean, that was really, that stands out to me now thinking back where we started.
I almost want to say he gets a big A for parenting. Not a big F, but I hear what you're saying. It's kind of fun. I'm with you. No, I'm totally tracking. It was just funny. It's in my brain. My brain goes funny places. But it does occur to me, and this is going to tie into the, you know, like our whole theme. I was so clear, and I am still so clear, that God called us to Genesis. And if you remember right, here's the exact thing that I said when we started out, and I repeated this in different ways, but God calls a special people FWC. To be his special people of faithfulness. The question is, how do we take that in? Do we really get a hold of that? Do we believe that God is truly fathering us? I got a clue on this not that long ago. I was born to a single mom who wanted to have a kid because she lost her other kids, and then she's hiding me, right? Like, I don't exactly know how that worked, hiding, but she didn't let me know who my father was and all of these kinds of things. And she was abused, and she had all of these stuff that went on in her life. And I'm going to say it like this. I'm scarred in so many ways from this. And then all of a sudden, God shifts this mindset, and all of a sudden, I'm a gift to this woman. That was freeing for me. I'm a gift to this, I'm going to say, poor lady. I don't mean to make her, you know, like that way, but she was broken. And yes, she added brokenness in my life that I've had to work through, but God has interrupted that, capital Father, and just working that through in a way to where now I get to be a gift. You and I are gifts to people. You're a gift to your husband. You're a gift to your father and your mother. You're a gift all across the board. We can just, all of you are a gift. You're a gift. You know, you were such a gift at Gap. I'm not going to go into your story. That's your story. But there was just this amazing moment that all these people were just like weeping, you know, because Daniel showed up as he was, and he got to be a gift to people. And he'll share the story as he sees fit when, you know, you can just ask him. He'll tell you, I'm sure. But it was powerful. And if you don't know the story I'm referring to, because you might have had a couple, there was one in particular that I'll remind you what that was. But we especially noted that God spoke the universe into being, right? He creates out of nothingness. He creates from the void, right? He brings order to chaos. And his playground is barrenness. We know this from Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel. His playground is barrenness, right? Over and over and over again, we are reminded that no matter what the destruction feels or looks like, that God is at work, and that's his playground. And you guys and I get to be that. We look around thinking, oh, such a tragic growing up. Oh, poor Brad. No, that's his playground. That's where he's like getting ready to go to work, right? And this matters because it's easy to look around and ask the question, are we really a special people? How often do we just kind of go like, man, if I'm special, I'm not really happy. We go the wrong special on that one, right? Maybe it's the right special, maybe it's not. But we kind of look at it as like the derogatory sort of way. And if we believe that, the scripture is intended for us to show us, to remind us how God tends to work, and that his answer allows us, you know, to be more bold in that. And we talked a little bit about that outside, that that we can at least be in the realm of possibility. God might be up to something. We can at least say that. We often really could say God is up to something. But sometimes we get a little caught in that, and that's okay. Abraham believed the Lord, and he what? Accredited to him as righteousness. And that's important if we connect, right? He is accredited to righteousness. What's the content of his faith? He stepped out and he walked it out. And there's still, I listened to this thing today, like in spite of all of the persecution from all the way from Abraham all the way up to modern day, guess what? Jewish people are still making babies. He made them more than the stars. Like it, they persecution and, you know, Hitler and, you know, a lot of times over the Christians and all of these different anti-Semitic type things, they still are walking out their calling that Abraham started. That's the content. It still is going. And they're still believing and continuing to move forward in that way. Many of them are, maybe not all of them. But he says, I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Yeah? So what's the content of our faith? What's the content that we're interacting with here? What is God saying to you and me? Do you believe that God has called you? Do you believe that God has called you to be a special person of faithfulness? A person to be a person who God has blessed and for the purpose of blessing others. Yes, it's our families for sure. And then as you kind of mentioned, I know you've already seen this in so many ways. Most of our kids have blessed others. We had a special friend come from Aaliyah, came and did double digits on Friday night. And she came and totally like rocked our kids' world. It was this great thing. And she got to this spot and she starts talking about identity. And in that, she starts talking to these kids about what's their identity. Who are you? And they introduce themselves. I'm, you know, Ian the baseball player. I'm, you know, Quinn this. And then, you know, I'm, what would he get? Gabe says, I am Wesley Warner's son. And, you know, like all of these things went through, and it was super cool. And then she kind of started twisting it a little bit, and she kind of tweaking it. And they ended up having to, I forget how they got to this spot, but they got to the spot where they were saying about being enough and being, you know, freedom and believing these certain things. Do you remember how yeah. She kind of got there? Yeah, so what does God say we are, right? And what are some examples that she said? I forget.
We're holy, we're enough. What's that sound
like? Yeah, like all the things that God says we are.
That we're free.
Glorious, we're free.
Children of God.
Children of God.
Yeah.
And then she asked which one on the board is the hardest for us to believe.
Yeah.
And we had to pick one and share that with everybody.
So then they shared it with each other, and that was cool in and of itself. And then she said, okay, now I want you to go through and introduce yourself as that thing.
Wow.
Right? So the thing that you feel the most insecure about is the thing that you're supposed to bring to the world. And I watched my son's face. I couldn't see everybody else's, but I watched my son's face go like, oh. It was like amazing to him. Like it never occurred to him that the thing that he had the hardest time with was the thing that God made him to be. And that's the gap. He is made strong in our weakness. And that was such a cool thing. So she got to bless us and be a blessing. And then she tells us and turns around and leaves and goes like, what an incredible group of people you have there. We got to bless her through it. And over again, we heard Tom Tebbs say this. We heard Rick and Robin, Suzanne say this all the time. You know, my in-laws were here, totally got to bless them. I'm just like so proud of us as we're going off, you know, praising God and in the background. My in-laws are there, and we get to do this over and over again. Bless people. But do you believe that you're a special special person, right? Like that God has made you to be able to bless others. So consider for a moment when you're praying for someone. I'm going to make a little analogy here. What are you doing when you're praying? When someone asks you for prayer, what are you doing? What's happening there?
Going to the Lord on behalf of them.
Going to the Lord on behalf of them. Yes. Any additional to that? For sure that. What are you doing? What is happening? What is going on in that? You're giving them to the Lord. Yeah. Well, you're invoking his, like, reign in some sense. His presence. Yeah. Anyone else? You're covering their back.
Because they're asking you to stand with them, but also for them in something.
Right.
And to protect them.
Yeah. So it's a safety in numbers in some ways.
Extra. I think of like the parallel
Yeah.
How it took his friends to break a roof open and be like, here,
yep.
Jesus, you're your friend.
We don't know that he went willingly, do we? Did he volunteer for that, or was he just like kidnapped? Can't get kidnapping people, but.
Yeah, so one of the scriptures says that's because of their faith.
Yeah.
And I always really was like, I want to be that friend. I want to be the friend that has faith when you don't have it.
Yeah. So there's a preposition in there, right? Like, that's interesting. We're going to what? Are we going to pray about people or pray for them? Pray for them. And I wanted to shift the language a little bit. Do you contend about people? Do you contend, like, if you're going to contend, or do you contend for them? It's just a preposition, but it makes a difference, doesn't it? And so as an analogy, and, you know, a little side just education, if you will, what are we believing in? Or more importantly, who are we believing in? So when you're noticing that your prayers aren't being answered, or that you're discouraged or you're disappointed, can that be an opportunity for you to question whether you are believing in Christ? Is Christ your end goal? Or are you believing in the outcomes or the side things? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things. Right? And so it gives us the opportunity to over and over and over again be frustrated. And we don't know why God delays. We don't know why God delayed with Joseph. Right? We just know that Joseph grew, and potentially so did Pharaoh in that preparing that way. So as we go and we your frustration, and what is our prayer supposed to do? It produces perseverance. Right? Yeah, so could Jesus be reminding us and calling us and asking us to say, are you believing and trusting in me, or are you believing and trusting in the outcomes or other things? And when God says you, faith worship community, is a special people of God's special people of faithfulness, do we believe and receive and hear that as a gift? Or do we resist it and deny it and consider it an imposition or a frustration? The old quote, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them. Or is it, God, thank you for treating me as a friend and inviting me into your suffering? That's what he's doing this week, isn't he? He's inviting us into his suffering, into this Holy Week, this Passion Week. And I like that he says, no, wait a minute. I can make things out of nothing. I can create the world. I can bring order to chaos. And barrenness is my playground. I will make you into a great nation, he says, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all of the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Can we boldly say as faith worship community, can we switch that a little bit and say that God will make us, a great church? And that he will bless us, and he will make our name great so that we can be a blessing to others. I have it in me to say, will you stand if you believe that? Do you want to stand and believe that? It's a response type thing. Do you believe it? And you don't have to, and I know there's only like 5 of us in here, but whatever. There's more than 5, but it feels that way. That is something to do, to step in that, to say, proclaim that. Let the Lord just speak to you in that. You get to be a blessing to others. No matter what your circumstance, no matter where you're at, no matter what your frustration, doubt, discouragement, disappointments, you are a blessing. And maybe it's in those disappointments. Maybe it's in the brokenness. Maybe it's in that delay of answering that God is doing an incredible work in that barrenness. And I'm standing with you. I want to stand with you. I want this church. I'm committed to this church growing in this way. If you want to sit down, you can. If you want to stay seated, stand the whole way. Let's interact. It's cold. We got to move around. There's an old film. It's an old film that I heard about that this little girl, I picture, I don't remember exactly the detail, but I picture, and it's black and white. So picture black and white. Now you know the poppies out there, right? They're beautiful, and they're going to even be more with all the rain and all this kind of stuff. So just picture it all black and white. It's all black and white. And then this little girl, maybe she's 6, 7 years old, she's running through the poppies. And as she runs, everything turns to color. Everything she touches. And then there's waves of color. Waves of color as it goes. That's the gospel. That's the gospel through you and me. That as we go through this dark and dreary world, that we bring waves of color with us. Because we know God and we believe in God and we focus on that being our end goal. That all of a sudden, everything else fades away of the things that distract, and color starts breaking out all over the place. Yeah. There's this guy, Henry Howard Glass or Wass or something like that. And he talks about this new politics, right? Like when we come through the doors of a church, whatever you call the church, right? Like if it's the beach, I'm okay with that, right? Like if it's your driveway, if it's this little dance studio that we meet in, when you come through the doors of the church, you're entering a new land. You're entering a new place. We come and we approach this thing, and it's a new, like, politics and governance or whatever. Have you ever driven in another country? Anybody driven over in like England or Japan? Like it's there's different rules. You have to, first of all, be on a different side of the road. Otherwise, a lot of problems happen, right? We have to reorient who we are in those things. I'm always telling my students, you know, I'm trying to comfort them because they're not used to driving the car, right? So they're, where are they doing? They're hugging the right side. The stuff over here is too close to them. They're used to being on the other side of the car, so now they're up here. And when I drove over in Australia, everybody's yelling at me, get over! Because why? I'm not used to it. I've always felt like the car was going to fall over, right? It's disorienting. But as we walk through the door into the church and we come and we approach the sacredness of this community and the worship that goes on here, we've entered in a new land, a land of color and amazement and of glory. It's a world of color. And to the degree that you bring that with you, it begins to create and spread that color all throughout the room. Recently, I've been in a conversation about why I've spent so much energy with Gap. And in so many ways, what I'm striving for is I'm striving for how do we bring that color, right? Like we get myopic and we get kind of closed in, right? And it's hard to, in a sounding board, and, you know, like, forgive me for being late today. I totally blew it, you know? But to the degree that you give me a pass and just ignore it, that's more dark, drab dreariness. But to the degree that you want to say, no, I'm up for something different. I'm up for like, hey, you blew it. You know, I want to forgive you. I went to this one of these Gap things a while ago, and I totally messed up something. And they're all like, oh, it's okay, no worries. I'm all, no, I need you to understand. I need you to acknowledge that I messed that up. I don't want to be unseen. How many of us want to be unseen? No. Sometimes when we screw up, we step in it and we go, no, I want to be seen and I wish I didn't do it and I'm sorry and I want to hear the forgiveness so that I am seen, I am known, I am in the light. That's what I want from us. But I wanted more from the Gap, right? Like, so I'm committed to this idea that, first of all, I feel very strongly that we need to add energy into the community. I just wanted to have some other person saying it, somebody who's not Adam, somebody who's not, you know, what we've done before. There's Orange, you know, Orange County Women's thing, but they don't let me in. I guess they probably would if I really forced myself, but it would have been, you know, a little bit awkward. But the point is, you know, like when we go to these different conferences or go to these different places, I want that energy to inform who you are in your worship. And Gap is just a great way to do that. It's just a resource. I think of it, a lot of it, like a Billy Graham crusade. It's a method. It's not the thing in and of itself. Billy Graham is not, he's great and he's amazing to watch. And I love just all of the buzz and you read about his story and his life and all of this stuff. But really, he was just a conduit to bring people to the Lord. That's all I want with Gap. And that's all I want in some ways here as community. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to grab an outside something to kind of, and I just picked Gap. That Gap is something that has worked for me, and it makes sense to me, and I'm, you know, I want you guys to see it, and a lot of you guys have, and it's awesome. But it's not the thing in and of itself. From the very origins of this church, FWC has strove to be like have this alternate expression of church. We wanted to do it a little bit different. And that's one of the things that was such a heartbreaking thing when the church split happened, is we weren't built to have a church split. It was so confusing. It was like a divorce for so many of us because we just didn't understand it and what was going on. And one of the things I decided for this particular gap, the ones that I just did here, this reveal that we just went to 2 weeks ago, is I want to say no more. And I sent out a bunch of requests for forgiveness if I need, you know, if there's anything that the church could forgive, because I'm turning the page. I'm walking away. I'm shaking the dust from my feet, so to speak, from that past. You know, if I need to ask for forgiveness, and I'm still up for that if somebody was to say, hey, you know what, you really screwed up here, you hurt my ear, or whatever, I'm open to hearing that, but I'm done with that, and I feel like we've given everybody that's been here an opportunity to be a part, and now they've decided not to be, and that's their fine. That's what they're, I can't say what God's doing in them. I just know that I am done, and I want you guys, and I'm asking you and inviting you to hold me accountable to that. If you hear me get off on these little things, you could go like, yeah, but you forgave them, right? Good. All right, let's move on, right? Forgiveness is the great thing, but I wanted to really use that as a changing, turning the page. The other thing that I wanted to do is sorry, I lost my space here. But I wanted to use gap, and this is important to say here. I wanted to use gap or built deep or even coming to church as an opportunity to exercise a muscle that I don't think we exercise very well, and that's the power of invitation. I want you guys to be inviting people to something of a relationship with Christ. You know, we've chosen to be a life, a community that's kind of uncommon, that's not normally, you know, like usually people go to church and that's the thing and then they leave and it's, you know, a whole nother life, right? It's not somehow blended or infused where they walk out the doors and now bring color to the world around them. And I think that, so we're not the only ones in that way, but I do think that we struggle with, if you're like me, I don't like being told no. I've been told no so many times. Hey, will you help do this? Will you do that? Yeah, no, 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 no. Well, okay, that's great. But there's something I need to grow in that to where it's the invitation is clear. Think of this sentence. It'd be awesome if you would, you know, pick up that pen, right? As opposed to, Hero, would you pick up that pen for me? Yes. Right? There's a clear exchange, a clear request. We hide, and this is our culture, we hide behind the, it would be awesome if you pass the guacamole, right? As opposed to, will you please pass the guacamole? No, I'm eating it myself, right? Like, you know, there's that type of thing that I want to see you guys grow in. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's another way we hide. We don't want to say what we want to see happen in the community because we don't want to be the one to actually go and do it. Now we're responsible in some ways. And yeah, that's another thing, right? And I'm not always gifted to do the thing that you were called to do. In fact, I'm probably not. In fact, I'm actually not gifted to do the thing that you were called to do because he equipped and he gifted you to do it. But that doesn't alleviate me from having to step into these kinds of things and to have that courage and that social vulnerability. So where we're going with this is I want to invite you guys, we have a big week planned. It would be cool if it's just us there. God will be blessed. It'll be great. Nothing wrong with that, especially down at the beach. But in years past, we've had like 200-300 people down there. We could invite some folks to come down. We can invite some people to the Seder dinner. I'm sorry, I know she shrinks away from a masterpiece, but how many of you have ever been to something that Janet hasn't crushed? You know? And most of the time we're like, oh my gosh, why didn't we? I wish somebody else, right? It just, it's going to be beautiful. And we're going to bless people. We'll have guests there and we'll have different people that aren't usually there. And so if we're thinking in those terms, and really, I just invite you guys, really think about who would you like to see there? And maybe somebody that not normally you would invite. Because, you know, if you've been told no a number of times by said person or said persons, maybe go on to somebody else. Maybe quit going back to the same person and say, oh, well, I know they're going to say no, right? Like we set that up anyway. Let's go over here. What about the checkout stand? What about the Starbucks lady? What about the doctor or the different person? You know, like there's all these different opportunities we have that we never think in those terms of like, who can I add color to their life? Now, they may say no, right? And you can still have an opportunity to add color to their life in that moment. Why are you inviting them? What is it they need to know? Are they hurting? Do they know that Jesus loves them? Do they know that there is hope in the world? Is there a possibility you can just pray for them on the moment and bring light right there? Yes.
It just dawned on me that if what we want so much is to be seen, an invitation is saying, I see you.
That's good. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And now she's turned to the Lord.
Wow. That's awesome. That is super cool. I love it. I love it.
That's worth it.
So this is Palm Sunday. And I just want to read to you real briefly here. This is the famous reading, and it's been kind of actually read in different ways throughout, but we're going to do Luke's version and start, honestly, I didn't put the chapter down, so I'm sorry, but it's verse 28 in Luke, one of those chapters, the triumphal entry, and I'll just read it to you if you want. And when he had said this, he went up along ahead, and going up to Jerusalem, he drew near to Bethany and Mount called Olivet. And he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite where you are entering, and you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this to them. The Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away, they found him just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said to him, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their garments over the colt, and they set Jesus on it. And he rode along as they spread their garments on the road. As he was now drawing near at a descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice, and all the mighty works that they had seen. And they said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he said to them, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. And it's interesting that the very next passage, right? We talked about that. We kind of get this idea that the stones, we don't want other people doing our work. That's just the bottom line there. We want to praise. We want to be the ones doing the inviting. We want to be the ones that get to, you know, and like you said, Diana, God's doing the thing, right? Like he's doing it in spite of us, and he's inviting us to do it. He's going to do it with stones, and he can do it with us, right, if you want. But this is where the next part that I thought is very interesting. Verse 41, it says, and he drew near, and he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, would it that even today you knew the things that were made for that would make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days shall come upon you when your enemies will cast a bank about you and surround you and hem you in on every side and dash you to the ground and your children with you. And they will not leave a stone upon another upon you because you did not know the time of your visitation. We are the church. We're designed to do something. And Jesus invites us in to be a part of that. Will he work without us? Yes, but he works with us. And then if we don't operate with him, if we don't engage and participate, he's weeping. This passage gives me an interesting idea that maybe he didn't have to go to the cross. I understand the big theology, right? But I'm talking here that there's this tension here that if you only would have listened, if you only would have participated, if you only would have jumped in on board, he might not have had to go down to Calvary, right? Like, I understand theologically he had to go, right? Like, I'm not trying to change your theology in that. But there's this tension in the scripture that he's crying and he's sad and he wished that they would have come. And I think that for us as the church, he wishes that we would participate. He wishes that we would engage. He wishes that we were more, like, overt and bold and so forth and so on. In another passage, he sits there and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, had you not only covered me, I would have gathered you as hens," right? I should probably make sure no one's actually stealing the car. I don't know which one it is. But. And then he goes in and he cleanses the thing. And what's another part that's interesting over in the other passage is he's going into, and he's going to go, and we know the famous story where he's going to cleanse the temple from the robbers, right? These are people that have come and they've made this place. It's no longer this place where color is. Not only have they made it that way, but they've made it even worse. And he's going through and it's like very transactional. And it prevents people from even coming and worshiping and being a part of it. But as he's coming down the deal, he sees a fig tree and he curses it. And there's this huge metaphor that, like, if he's coming to get fruit from his church and he finds none there, there's a heavy warning in this passage. It's neat to praise God and to be excited and to be overt in that way. And there's the other side of that, that we come into the moment of where he invites us to be a part of it and we say no, and then there's no fruit. What is the fruit of your life? Is it producing fruit that's worthy of your Holy Father? Capital F. Yeah? But then there's grace. There's grace. There's grace. There's grace to step into it, fail, and then go again. It's easy to go like, I can't do it. It's overwhelming. It's too big for me. No, he makes his strength perfect in our weakness. It's that kid that his face turned and he was like, oh, like, I can do that. You know, I can just ask. I can invite. Well, they didn't come. Okay, well, great. But I invited. I was clear. I gave the opportunity. I can pray for. I can pray with in the moment. We get to participate and be active in that way. And it says in the next passage, when they came back, they noticed that the fig tree was done. And Peter says, you know, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed, it's now withered. And he says, duh, like, I'm God. What I say happens, right? He makes life happen. And if he wants to take life out, he'll curse. And he'll say, no, it's done. He says, but then the next thing he says, but it just takes faith. You've already got enough faith. You and I already have everything we need to go and pray, to create color, to walk out this room and make life better for somebody. I got to do that yesterday. It's just like, again, I could do it for Tim and I could, you know, there's different, but to go with this guy yesterday and there's this exchange of color and it's beautiful. So I want to try and send this to you guys, and I want to show you. It's not going to let me, is it? Maybe you're not supposed to have it. Let me try real quick before I give up. And I'm just going to, we can just all kind of look at it. You'll have, it'll be a little time delay. I'll send it to Di real quick. Do you have your phone? So probably turn your sound off. You don't need the sound for it. I'll explain it. We do need a group church chat. Paul. And then once you get it, maybe pass it around. Pass it around. And Tara, you're good at this. T-A-R-A. Just keep passing it around, everybody. And you can start looking at it. Hannah, I can do yours. Do you have your phone?
Yeah, but we have to leave a little bit early.
Yeah. Well, you can take a look at it. I'll explain what it is before you walk out. Okay. Okay, so let me just explain it to you. Let's get it passed around. If you don't see it, I'll just show it to you real quick before you go. So there's this little trick, right? Like, it's an optical trick. I want you guys to be able to have communion. Do you have just a second to have communion? Is that possible, or are you, like, totally?
No, that would be cool.
Okay. Okay, so here's the thing, just so you can kind of see it. Did you guys get it? Did somebody pass it to the Arbuckles?
Oh, but Hannah has it. She did.
Did you see it? We can kind of show it to you. So the whole thing is... Okay, I'll show you. It's coming. Okay. So there's this black and white picture, okay? And you'll play with this. You can take it home and play with it or whatever. There's this black and white picture. And then she's going to do this little color thing. Good. And then, that's okay. But if you see, there's a little blue dot. And if you stare at that blue dot, and I had to pause mine a little bit, all of a sudden, when they show the black and white picture again, the black and white picture is in color.
That was cool, yeah.
Okay? And so what's going on with it is you're staring at this blue dot, and they do this little thing, and it changes your perception. It changes what you see. And the whole analogy is just simply, how do we bring color to the world? It's not a parlor trick. In some ways it is, but it's really happening in our perception that we see color. If you stare at this blue, our perception changes. And when you walk through the door, when you come to communion and you have this, your focus, if your focus is on Jesus, if he is who you believe in, then you are going to see in color. And you'll be able to take that. And what's kind of cool about the analogy is it fades. So what do you got to do to rekindle it? You got to keep coming back. You got to keep coming back. Sorry, that didn't work as quick. I was going to pass it out during Pass the Peace. I forgot. But that's what we want. That's what I'm up to. I want us to see in color. I want us to invite others in color. I want you to enjoy the power of invitation. And the power, the struggle, the tension, and the difficulty of no, this is what Bronson talked about, is there's pain in the redemption. So when you go through the trouble of like wishing or hoping people will come or be a part of, you know, you want to see life in the area that they've given up on, right? That is an opportunity for that pain, and it drives you back to who? To Jesus. Backs you back to the cross over and over again. And then we get out of our little world here and get up into the bigger world that he's got going for us. Amen?